I think it's really about achieving that balance. And to do that, you need to have a framework in place that almost takes a holistic view of the project finance space or of the renewable energy space, and also where there's participation from the different stakeholders. So I think those trade-offs are really in how you structure your project and how you balance out the interests of the different parties.
Hello and welcome to Earthcast, a platform for discussions about bridging the resource gap between people and planet. I am your host, Olivia Taylor, or Olivia Earth on the socials. I have the privilege of interviewing a series of changemakers, thinkers, and disruptors, and asking them about their fields of interest. Together, we will discover fresh perspectives and the most useful levers in society for change. More specifically, we will look at how to solve wicked problems and make decisions at the margin. If you would like to hear more from Earthcast, subscribe and follow us on social media. Earthcast Season 1 explores the just energy transition and unpacks varied topics such as finance, policy, deepening inclusivity, innovative technology, and how to accelerate the transition given climate limitations. Welcome back to Season 1, Episode 24 of Earthcast. For the next 30 minutes, we will be hearing from Jotham Makurudze, who is a project finance professional at a development finance institute. He has over 16 years' experience in credit analysis, deal structuring, and project finance, with exposure to projects across the ICT, energy, and transport sectors on the African continent, with 8 years at a senior level. Jotham has previously worked as a credit analyst for a credit rating agency and as an investment analyst covering listed and unlisted banks and corporates across Africa. He is a CFA charter holder and holds a BCom honours degree in financial analysis and portfolio management from the University of Cape Town, a BCom degree from Wits University, and an MBA from the Gordon Institute of Business Science at the University of Pretoria. Jotham, given your broad credit and investment experience, what drew you to renewable energy? You know, what was the plan, or did it emerge as you developed your career?
Thanks for having me, Olivia. So what really drew me to renewable energy was just, I suppose, a confluence of coincidence, I think. I was quite fortunate in my career that as I was starting off in the credit space, in the banking space, it was at the time as well that the renewable energy program was kicking off in South Africa around 2012. I started my career in a rating agency, which was around 2007, just after I finished my university education. And I then moved into equities research for a couple of years. And then I joined the development finance space, where I worked in the credit space. It was a time when, that program was kicking off. And I got involved in looking at renewable energy projects and trying to make them bankable, and looking at the risks involved and how best to position them so that they can be funded by banks. That's really how I found myself in the renewable energy space.
So to go a little bit further and to unpack for the audience, what is project finance and why has it been so successful for enabling the financing of REAP in South Africa, the renewable energy independent power producer procurement program?
So project finance is a limited recourse financing structure which relies on convincing financiers and sponsors to fund a project which is structured in a way that it relies quite heavily on the cash flows from that project, with limited recourses to the sponsors or the shareholders. So it allows capital to be made available for funding specific projects whilst reducing the risk for the different parties involved. So it's really around security of cash flows and making sure that there's certainty or reasonable certainty of those cash flows materializing by having in place take or pay arrangements with the offtakes of the energy in this instance, by having in place structures that parcel out the risks to the individuals or to the parties that are best able to manage those risks. So, for example, construction risk is assumed by the engineering and procurement specialist, operational risk is assumed by the operator of the project, and so on and so forth. So that's how you, that's really the essence of project finance, in that it tries to parcel out the risk, and it makes these projects more bankable or fundable, so that they can attract the capital that they need to get off the ground.
And then I guess a bit further, Jotham, what do we have to look forward to in South Africa with how project finance is being deployed?
So far, what we have seen is that a lot of the capital has tended to be coming in from foreign entities or foreign banks and sponsors. One thing that we have to look forward to is we're starting to see the emergence of South African sponsors that have got the balance sheets to support funding into these structures, that have got the experience of developing projects as well. So it's really around more local participation in the project finance space. Also in terms of, the number of other services and value-added services that are to project finance transactions, some of them in sort of the advisory space and in the risk management space as well, where we also starting to see a number of local entities and players that are starting to come into that space. So I think that's one thing to really look forward to going forward. Yeah. So just that greater participation of locals in the value chain. I think also another thing is around the development and ownership of the technologies and intellectual property related to some of the renewable energy solutions. So we also expecting to see greater participation of local companies and also the establishment of our own sort of manufacturing capability in the country. You may know that quite a number of the components that go into renewable energy plants is manufactured outside of the country currently. So that includes things like solar PV panels, turbines, a lot of electrical equipment is manufactured outside of South Africa. So bringing that that element into the local manufacturing scene is also something that we have been expecting. There has been sort of some traction in that space with the establishment of factories for the manufacturing of solar panels locally, but that has been sort of disrupted by the on and off that has happened in terms of moving from one stage to another. So there's been quite a number of gaps in how that the program has transitioned from round one into now current rounds, the just ended round five. So that could have been handled a bit better, in my view. And, you know, it would have helped in encouraging the establishment of those capabilities locally.
How is project financing facilitating a deeper and more just energy transition? How is it stopping the perpetuation of inequalities? And I know this is quite a vulnerable question, and often I think about how much I ask of my guests, but how optimistic do you feel about business externalities being appropriately dealt with? And what are the main barriers to this, specifically in sub-Saharan Africa?
Okay. So I think project finance is one of the tools that we can use to kickstart the just energy transition. I think it's really around putting in place, structures that address the concerns of investors. And really that's what project finance is about. It's really about parceling out risk. It's about managing cash flows. So the challenge that we have with some of the ideas around the just energy transition process is that it's not immediately clear how that value is unlocked. So it tends to be there are quite a number of benefits that we know are there in rolling out a just energy transition a program, in that you start to move away from the dirty sources of energy, and you start to decarbonize, and you preserve jobs, and you have economic activities. There's social benefits that accrue, but there has to be a willingness of different parties involved in trying to make that happen, to actually look at the bigger picture and try and create a sort of a win-win kind of scenario where risk capital is able to come in and provide the much needed facilities or resources to make the program a success, and also for different other stakeholders to come in and provide an environment that allows that capital to realize a return. So eventually, there has to be, a meeting of minds and also working towards a common goal. So I think that's how project finance can play a role in the just energy transition process. In terms of how optimistic I feel about it, I think with all the good intentions that are there and the need for us to embark on this just energy transition process, it becomes very, very clear that there is a common good to come out of that process for all parties, be it the financiers, be it government, be it civil society. So it's really around, making sure that we work together, or those different parties work together to achieve, the common purpose of transitioning our economies into less carbon intensive, economies. So I think that there are quite a number of, call it negative business externalities that are there. And these can be can range from a poorly designed framework for managing your environmental and social aspects. And also just a lack of clarity on property rights. and sort of other other things that are required to make this a success, including resettlement action plans where that is required. There's also elements of corruption that we have seen in certain sectors, which have been plaguing the investment into these spaces, where it really requires intentionality upon our the authorities, government, business, and financiers, to make sure that those negative externalities are dealt with, we can try and arrive in a situation whereby the purpose of implementing this just energy transition process is realized. And there's quite a number of positive things that stand to come out of this, which includes the development of smart infrastructure, smart grids, the creation of jobs, and skills development for our local people. So I think, as it stands right now, I am fairly optimistic that it is a journey that will, we will, as a country, realize some success over time. So I'm quite positive.
I'm really relieved to hear that. Thank you, Jotham. So in class last year, when you were presenting to my renewable energy finance class, I remember you saying that project finance is all about trade-offs. I've just heard you say this is a win-win situation. So what exactly did you mean by project finance is all about trade-offs?
Yeah, so I think what is clear is that there is definitely a trade-off between the risk that you take on a particular project and the return that you get. And when I say return, I'm referring to the positive benefits that may not be monetary or that may not be measurable in monetary terms. And these returns accrue to different parties. So it's really around balancing those risk factors that may be a hindrance to investment or to development of these programs such as the REAP and their success. So it's really around trying to balance out those factors. There is different stakeholders that exist on project finance transactions, as I've mentioned, and these stakeholders are quite varied in terms of their interests. And having a framework in place, such as the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program that we have in South Africa, helps to actually manage those trade-offs in that you have a framework that spells out what sponsors need to do in terms of social and upliftment of the communities, the investment that they need to do into economic development, and also investment that they need to make on the social side. And that is spelled out in the renewable energy program. You have also stipulations in terms of local content and creation of jobs and transfer of skills to locals. So I think it's really about achieving that balance. And to do that, you need to have a framework in place that almost takes a holistic view of of the project finance space or of the renewable energy space, and also, you know, that where there's participation from the different stakeholders. So I think, you know, those trade-offs are really in how you structure your project and how you balance out the interests of the different parties. And obviously, all of those things have to be captured in a framework, like I mentioned, in legal agreements. So it's really around creating that environment. You know, a regulatory environment also might be necessary, where, you know, we are moving towards almost an uncharted space in some of the frontiers where, you know, there's new technology that's coming in. There are new ideas around how certain, you know, solutions around reducing greenhouse gases are concerned. There's, you know, quite a number of new ideas that are coming up. And those ideas would need some form of regulation or self-governance to begin with for some of the players, where they actually set out and influence the regulation that they need to see for them to create that environment where, you know, the interests of all the different stakeholders are spoken to and addressed.
Do you think then that project finance could succeed in other financial and global paradigms? Or do you think it is only successful under capitalism?
I think, I think project finance requires an environment that allows innovation. Like I mentioned, it really is around solutioning for funding, right? For making sure that you bring the funding in and you avail those resources to these projects. So for financiers to invest their money, one of the things that is required is for there to be an ability to innovate around structures that they need to put in place to gain comfort, to put their money in these projects. So yes, whilst I think, you know, the last time I gave that presentation, I mentioned that project finance probably has its genesis in sort of the capitalist sort of paradigm. But I think it is a tool that we can make use of in multiple different global paradigms where, you know, as long as that environment is there that allows that innovation and also that looks at the interests of the different stakeholders, you then begin to get to a framework that can be a win-win, like I mentioned before. So I definitely think that, you know, project finance is very much a useful tool in achieving, you know, different outcomes that benefit different people. And the industry itself develops over time a set of best practices that are acceptable. And I think this has been one of the things that, you know, we'll see that this has been one of the things that has allowed the deployment or the investment into infrastructure. It's something that over time has potential to make available those resources so that we can have investment in infrastructure, we can have you know, the development of our own societies. So basically, yeah, I think it can be successful under different global paradigms.
So now perhaps for a more light question, but something that would be really useful to me and the listeners, who are you reading or listening to at the moment within the intersection of finance and renewables that you're finding really compelling?
So I listen to quite a different number of podcasts. I follow a number of people that I think are quite influential in the finance and renewable space, and they've got very interesting ideas. One of them is Professor Mark Swelling. You may know him, I find some of his articles quite interesting, and his views on how we are moving or how we are transitioning as a society, and what are some of the things that we need to consider in that just energy transition process. There is a book of his, I think it's called The Age of Sustainability, that is on my to-read list. I haven't quite, gotten to it as yet, but he's one of the persons that I follow quite closely. There's also a platform called ssrn.com, where I access a lot of research material that or articles that are mostly of an academic nature around the issue of the just transition, as well as financing of renewables. So I find that space quite, also very interesting in terms of, articles that I can read and keep up with some of the ideas around the just transition process and the challenges in funding such initiatives. I'm also an avid watcher of a number of TED Talks around this area, so it's something that I follow quite closely. And I also like the HBR Ideacast podcast, which also speaks to some of these issues around renewables the just energy transition process and the finance space. So I think it's quite an informative platform that one can learn quite a lot from.
Thank you so much, Dotham. And I wanted to say I have so much to learn from you with regards to staying up to date. So I'm definitely going to listen to this again and make some more time to really stay up to date with current trends. At the moment, I'm going to use studying as an excuse because I have prescribed literature. Unfortunately, as we come to the end, just so the listeners, audience can follow more of your work if they want to, you can go to LinkedIn and follow Jotham there, where you can follow more of his insights. So, Jotham, the final question. Given your expertise, what question should I have asked you?
I think that one question would have been, what is one aspect around this topic, around the sort of renewables and environmental, social, governance space that doesn't get as much attention as it deserves, and I suppose you'd want me to answer my own question, right? So I think it's really around something, finding solutions around the storage of energy. And I think one of the challenges that we are going to face in this journey towards, just transition or the decarbonization of our economies is around the storage of energy. And without that, I think we are going to have quite a lengthy journey if we don't have effective forms of storing energy. So I think that's the one space that requires quite a great deal of attention from, and I suppose that is in the sort of science space, but it is one area where that will be quite critical towards achieving decarbonization.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Next episode, I will be asking more creatives and intellectual disruptors about making decisions at the margin. See you next time.